Afternoon, everyone. There's no windshield here. Are we safe? Is it okay? Yeah, it's true. It's useless, right? その通りです. Yeah. All right. Please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18. Happy to see Yukari's mother. Welcome to our church. Yeah, so nice to meet you. Wonderful. Yeah, and also, did I miss the testimony? Did Lord Will and Cindy, did they talk already? Oh, man. Ah, I was on my motorcycle trying to get here, breaking the law. Oh, YouTube, yeah, watch the YouTube. Yeah, okay. All right. So, yeah, happy to see you guys back. And Naomi, I really want to give Naomi a big kiss and a hug, but I smell like basketball right now, so you should not come close to me. Yeah. So this morning, my son played two games. I was his coach. We won both games. Yay! Yeah. Which means I have to do again next Sunday. More basketball. So. Lose. Yeah. And, but praise the Lord. He did well. And, I made it in time to do a short message for us today. Okay, so let's begin. And we'll go ahead and, so this is the story. I'll do a quick review and then we'll read the scripture. So let's see. Yeah, here we go. Okay, so. The history of Israel is my history, because the history of Israel is the history of Jesus' people. Jesus belonged to Israel, to the Jews. And so because I belong to Jesus, the stories, the poetry, the messages, the prophets, the kings, the prophecies, those messages, those prophecies, those stories are my stories. That's our story. And there's so much value to our life. It's so much wisdom that we can learn from these stories. Last week, we introduced the story of Elijah, the prophet. And for 3 years, there was no rain in Israel. The reason there was no rain was because Israel was worshiping the rain god, the god of rain, Baal or Baal. And Yahweh, the God of Israel, said, no, that's not your God. I'm your God. And in fact, I'm the one who brings the rain. So the more you worship Baal or Baal, and the more you think he will bring the rain, the less rain there is. And so 3.5 years, no rain. Because God was calling his people back to him from Baal. Oh, so much to learn. So much to learn. God's people, he loves them so much that even though they leave him, they forget him, they wander away, he still wants to rescue them. Excuse me. So the story is now after the 3 years, the prophet Elijah, he goes from here in Phoenicia back into Israel, and he calls the king of Israel. He says, Ahab, come on, let's meet at Mount Carmel. So here's Mount Carmel from the bottom. And here's Mount Carmel the view from the top. And he said, let's come up to the mountain and let's have a contest. Who is the real God of Israel? Who is the God that Israel should worship? Is it Baal or Yahweh? And you call your prophets, and I'll come by myself, and we'll see who the real God is. Okay, so let's get into the story. We'll pick up from verse 21. I'll read from verse 21, and if you will join me, it gets strange. Join me at the strange part at the end, towards verse 27. Yeah, we'll read that together. So I'll start at verse 21. Here we go. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord, Yahweh, is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let Baal's prophets choose one for themselves, and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set it on fire, not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, Yahweh. The God who answers by fire, he is God. Then all the people said, what you say is good. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there are so many of you. Call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire. So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. Baal, answer us, they shouted. But there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar they had made. Let's read together, verse 27. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. Shout louder, he said. Surely he is a god. Perhaps he is deep in thought or busy or traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened. So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. This is the very word of God. Amen. So, if you remember last week, the title of the message was fake tolerance and real commitment. We learned that the people of Israel had fake tolerance towards the God of Israel. You can't have an idea, an intellectual, neutral stance. Oh, is it Yahweh? Is it Baal? Is it the God of the Christians? Is it the Muslims? Is it the Buddhist? Is it the Hindus? Everybody is okay. I'm in the middle. I'm neutral. No one should say theirs is the only way. That's how you can be tolerant. The way you're tolerant is if you don't be intolerant of others, if you just say everybody's the same. The teaching here from last week, from the old story, is no, that's not how life works. Because if you don't listen to the other person and acknowledge that they're different, and you're saying everybody's the same, that's not how reality works. If a person comes to church, they look at me, a Filipino, they look at my wife, Japanese, and they say, oh, all you Asians, you all look the same. There's no difference. That's an insult. Because Filipinos are very different from Japanese, who are very different from Koreans, very different from Singaporeans and Chinese and Thai, right? So that's a fake tolerance. Real tolerance is understanding the difference and acknowledging that. And then that we need real commitment. Real commitment involves death. So if you have a choice between A and B, I want this life or I want this life, you can't have both. You have to die to one life or the other. And the way that you can die to one is by following the someone who has done it already. And that one is Jesus Christ. He had real commitment to us, so much that he died for us. That was last week. Now you see the title for this week, Real or Fake Masters, Real Authority. So you see the theme, real versus fake. Last Wednesday, I had a Bible lesson with my junior high and high school students, and they showed me a picture of Twitter, a Twitter picture. You're familiar with Twitter. And on Twitter, they showed someone holding a gun, a rifle, and you could see on the sleeve of the person holding the gun, he had a yellow band around his arm. So you know that, right? That's the Ukrainian army who has that band, you know, they carry. But the gun, the rifle, it had Japanese anime characters. It was decorated in a kind of, I can't remember the name, but it was like Japanese anime on the handle of the gun and on the barrel, you know, where you hold your, I don't know how, what the gun parts. Was pink and orange and yellow on the gun. And this is war. And underneath was a caption written in Nihongo. And thousands of people, tens of thousands of people said, Ine, they had a heart. It was on Twitter. And it had tens of thousands of hearts and thousands of retweets. You know, retweet, they share, right? But then we zoomed in on the picture. And we could see the person's hand who was holding the gun. It was a woman's hand. She had nails, long nails, kind of pretty, you know. And also, there was other things that made us understand, oh, this is fake. This is not a real Ukrainian soldier with a Japanese anime rifle. It was just a picture on Twitter for kind of, you know, comedy, right? But so many people believed it, and they said, oh, go Ukraine, fight Ukraine, don't give up, we support you. It was a fake picture. But thousands of people said, wow, that's great. It's silly illustration, but life and death is on the line of understanding what's real and what's fake, especially our God that we serve. And so we're looking at this story. Why do I say fake masters and real authority? Well, I want to focus on one word, okay? You can see here it says the prophets of Baal. And now I said that Baal was the god of rain. He was the rain god. But actually, he was just one of many. And Baal is not a kind of proper name. Baal is not like a name like Zeus or, Hera or Gaia or Osiris. That's not the name of a single god. Baal is just a name for master. So let me show you another place. This is from last week. And if you look at verse 18, this is Elijah. He's talking, and he says, "I have not made trouble for Israel," Elijah replied, "but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned Yahweh's commands and have followed the Baals," plural, okay? So that just means you have followed not one God who is reigning. You're following the masters, the different gods of Canaan and Mesopotamia and Sidon and Syria and so on. And Sidon and Tyre, yeah. Where am I getting at? Baal, the meaning of Baal means master. Now, maybe you read this story and you're reading the parts where they talk about dancing around the altar and shouting and slashing themselves, you know, and their blood was flowing, and you're thinking, oh, ancient people, they're so primitive, they're so ignorant of reality. No. The ancient pagans knew something that we cannot admit. They understood. We all serve something. We all worship someone, if not God himself. They understood that no one is free. Everybody is serving something. And so they put their name, they put names to their masters. Aphrodite, the master of beauty. Apollos, the master of wisdom. Mars, the master of war. These different powers. The master of wisdom, the master of education, the master of health, the master of beauty, the master of success, of money and wealth. All these different, the masters of safety. They had names for all of these things because they understood that's how life is. Whether you believe those gods are real or not, we give ourselves to them, whether we know it or not. Let me just give you an example. My eldest son is 14. Yeah, 14. I can't remember their birthdays. 14. My youngest son is 4. So I have a 14, 12, 10, 7-year-old, I think. That's what their age is, right? So, about that, right? Okay. And so the boys, since they were small, "Daddy, can I have a video game for Christmas? Daddy, my friends are all playing Minecraft. Can we buy a Minecraft? Daddy, can we play games on the iPhone?" Yeah. "No, we can't. Can we buy a Xbox?" "No, we don't do that." "Why?" I teach at a school where so many of the students play video games so much, they cannot study. It's a high-level school. It's very difficult to get in. And our standards are high, but some students, they get addicted to Minecraft and Dragon Quest and puzzle nantoka nantoka and, whatever. Anyway, Fortnite. And they get addicted. They don't realize they're being mastered by these games because they're designed to addict the player. If you are a 10-year-old, 7-year-old, 12, you don't know how to control yourself. And you give yourself to this thing. And now it's a whole industry. I understand that. So in my house, that's just one master we'll just not have. My boys, they'll get addicted to other things. And we'll deal with those little things as they come. But at least one thing they won't have to mess with is video games, as long as they're living with me. Now, they can't relate to their friends. They can't have conversations about Minecraft and Fortnite and blah, 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 blah. I don't care. They can still talk about soccer and classes and movies. That's fine. But I understand that they can't, it's very subtle. And so in life, we're on Facebook, we're on YouTube, we're on Instagram, and there's images put on us, there's words, and there's so many things that make us think, ah, yeah. Let me just give you one thing that occurred to me today. One of the masters, one of the fake masters that we often think of is, well, influence, power, the ability. Not only do we relate to people, but then our desire is to influence people, to have a kind of effect on people, because we need them to admire us, or we need them to say, oh, I like that. And then the next step is, okay, if I can have influence over you, now I can try to control. And so for me, as a basketball coach, as a teacher, and as a parent, you give me one little bit of control, just a little bit of authority, whoo! I think I can just push buttons, point fingers, and tell people jump, and tell people run, and tell people do your homework, and I think I have all the control. And now I open my eyes, and before I know it, there's a God of control and influence that I am giving my life to. And my pride gets bigger. My head gets bigger. And that's just one. That's just influence. How about success? How about beauty? How about possessions? And so how do you know if you are falling under the influence of a master, a fake one that it's not one that will give you life, it's intent, it's, how do you know? Because if you don't distinguish between the real and the fake, it's life and death. And that's what God is teaching Israel. Israel, 3 years, no rain, no water. People are dying because you can't see the difference between a real God and the fake one. So, how do you know? Here it is. Ready? This is how you know. The roles reverse. The power switches. So what happens is you get a taste of the power, the control, the beauty, the pleasure, and you want more, right? And he draws you, the fake master draws you, and now you think, oh, by my power, my strength, my intellect, my ability, I can get this myself. And so you're pulling on this string, and it's called performance. So the roles switch. Now, he's not controlling you. You are trying to control him, this fake master. How do I see that? Look what happens. They're dancing. They're shouting. This is their custom. Who is doing the performing? Who is doing the action now? They are trying to control Baal. They think if they dance the right dance, say the right words, cut themselves the right way, get the right tattoos, they can make Baal give them rain. They think they are in control. It's fake. Do you see that? So if you are giving yourself to something that you think will give to you more of something you want, and the more you give, and the more you perform, the more you dance, I should have it. You know what? Christians do this too. If you can't say amen, you ought to say ouch. Yeah. Oh, man, how many times? I'll admit it. God, how could you do that? How could you allow this? God, I did so much for you. I gave so much. I've been praying so much. I've wept. Shouting and dancing. And you don't do this for me. Who's the master? Who thinks he's in control? So Christians do this too. It's fake. We have to repent. So, how do we get out of this? All right. The climax of the story is next week. Yeah. But just one lesson from here. One lesson from here. How do we find real authority? How do we find the real authority? Now let's go to the good news. You see, these prophets of Baal, they shouted, no answer. They danced, no answer. What's left? We start cutting ourselves. Where blood starts to come out. And that's the way we could manipulate God. There was a man who came. He said, you don't have to dance. You don't have to shout. You don't cut yourself. Here's what happens. I love you so much. I'll cut myself for you. I'll die for you. I'll go to death for you because I really love you. I'll get down on my knees. I'll wash your feet. I'll serve you. I'll heal you. I'll feed you, whatever you need. I'll give everything to you. Just follow me. That's how you know who the real master is. That's how you know what real authority is. Real authority is not saying, jump, and you, oh, I'll jump. Real power, real authority, real influence is, I'll jump for you. I'll work for you. I'll do it for you. And so what happened when Jesus went to the cross? He died. He gave his blood. They cut him. And then they buried him in the grave. 3 days later, he resurrected. 40 days later, he goes up to a mountain. Maybe it was Carmel, maybe it was a different mountain. Probably different mountain. He goes up to another mountain, and then what does he say? He says, all authority has been given to me. All authority in heaven and on earth. In other words, Baal bows to me. Zeus bows to me. Horus bows to me. Osiris, Aphrodite, Mars, Venus, all of them. I have authority over them. And I got that authority by serving, by dying, by giving. That's real authority. That's the lesson we learn from just this one part of the story. So who have you been giving your life to in little ways that you don't know? You need to do that. You'll never never experience the full freedom of the gospel if you don't identify your little masters, your little idols, your little Baals. You have to find what is controlling you that is not from God. Is it acceptance from this group of people? Is it your little kingdom that you want to build? Is it your status on social media that's fake? Is it something that you want people to believe about you? Is it your health? Is it your safety? Health and safety are good, but they make terrible gods. Is it your career? Is it your family? Career and family are good, but they are terrible masters. Give your life to the one who loved you. Real authority. Let him set you free and experience that freedom. All right, so that's real, and that's real authority over fake masters. We follow Jesus Christ. He's the real authority. We submit to him. We love him because he loved us. So let's follow him this week. Amen? So let's bow in prayer. We'll close our service. Oh, Lord, we repent of our idolatry. And, Lord, we think we can control you or manipulate you in so many ways by our performance. Forgive us for our pride and arrogance. We humble ourselves and repent of our selfish ambition and our pride. And we know that if we repent before you, you will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you, Jesus, for loving us, dying for us, and taking the real authority over all other gods for us. We love you, we praise you, and Lord, we offer up this praise to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, shall we all rise as we sing our closing song together?
Take my heart, take my life as a living sacrifice. All my dreams, all my plans, Lord, I place them in your hands. I give myself away. together wonderful to me.
And let's pray. And now to him who is able to keep us from falling, to present us before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Thank you all for coming today. So good to see you. God bless you. Have a great week. Amen. Amen.